Welcome to another edition of Mike McFeely Outdoors and the Mighty 790 KFGO on this Saturday morning as we wait with bated breath. Not even sure what that means. Is that a good thing, bad thing? We wait with bated breath, Doug Lear of the North Dakota Game and Fish Department and Tom Wynn and friend, to find out where tomorrow, Sunday, the mighty Bison of North Dakota State are going to play their first round basketball game in the NCAA. That's NC2A tournament on the national stage.
Wow. Here I thought I missed like the drawing for the moose, elk, and bighorn sheep, or you had like a flock of snow geese. I thought like the hot perch bite. I guess the Bison are going to find out tomorrow, but there's a lot of guys and gals, like on Thursday when it was tapping on 50 degrees, they didn't care who was playing what where. They were just like, spring is here. We can go out ice fishing and get a sunburn and listen to the geese flying over the top of us. And for a lot of folks, that I know I might be stepping on toes, that is very important to the masses of people that love to spend their time chasing snow geese, chasing perch, getting ready for the spring turkey season. Oh, by the way, we're into week number two of the spring crow season in North Dakota. I guess the Bison is something.
Spring crow season.
Opened up last Saturday. Didn't you see all the trucks parked at the gas stations?
Yeah. I saw a bunch of people with big piles of black crow decoys in the back of their pickup.
Playing the 30-pound crow song or whatever it is. Did you see the 30-pounder? Did you shoot the 30-pounder? That's a big crow. You get a 30-pound crow.
Why do people shoot crows? Just for target practice to allow them to hunt? Crows are smart. They're a very smart bird. They probably don't decoy easily. They probably outfox a lot of hunters.
I'll name names. There's a guy that you need to get on your show. His name's Ross Renner. He's with Fargo Police Department.
Okay.
And he is a crow hunter. I've never been out specifically and intentionally with the right tools and the equipment to go crow hunting, but Ross has, and he's told me about it. And it's phenomenal. Think if you take like crows, if you see crows alongside the road and you stop and you think you're going to jump out and grab them or whatever, crows, if you're out in the country, and like you take your foot off the gas, they fly away. Mm-hmm. They are very wary. They're a very smart bird. There's some of those nature type TV shows that'll have stories about crows and how they can open up the side saddle on a snowmobile and pull out a sandwich and eat it and close the side saddle and go about their business. So you take all that stuff together, and crows are a very, very intelligent bird. And the guys and the gals, I suppose there's gals that hunt, and the members of Crows Unlimited, there's no such thing as Crows Unlimited that I know of. But I did catch you flat-footed there for a second, didn't I?
You did, yes. Sorry.
They love crow hunting for the sheer sport of it. I don't know if there's like crow sausage or crow stew or something that they eat, but that's a lot more than you thought you were going to get on crows, wasn't it?
No, that's very impressive because I think, and I look back on it, my dad used to have crow decoys out in the garage. You know, just I think it was some very simple, you know, pieces of plywood cut into shapes like a crow and painted flat black. And in my dresser drawer at home right now,
Is a bottle of Old Crow?
No, I have a next to my bottle of Old Crow, I have a crow call.
Seriously?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yep.
Because from your dad?
Yeah, because my dad used to be
That's
cool. I don't know when he did it or why he did it. He certainly didn't try to, you know, impress upon me that I needed to go shoot crows, but I still have
the
crow decoy. It's probably like 50, 60 years old.
Right.
Yeah, so.
And when you talk to folks that do crow hunt, they'll talk about the different types of calls or the things that they'll try to mimic, whether it's an owl or a blackbird or a rabbit, you know, the different types of things that will.
Because crows will chase after birds of prey
to get them
out of their territory.
Yeah, you see that very often. So I do say it a lot of times tongue-in-cheek is, you know, the crow opener and, you know, dads and sons and brothers and uncles gathering around the pickup truck and getting ready. I say it in jest, but the guys that actually do crow hunt, they definitely are drawn into it. That's one of the fun things about the outdoors, Mike, is whether it's turkey hunting, crow hunting, catfishing or paddle fishing, you can make it what you want. And yes. I think, as you know, yes. and I do, that if you love to go bluegill fishing, crappie fishing, if you are in love with crappies, then you can make it, you know, the crappie Super Bowl on, you know, the mm-hmm. the middle of March every year because the walleye season's closed down or whatever right. you want to do.
And one thing, you're right, and fine. I'll get in my one last crow joke. Do they have to have, like, crow identification courses to separate the crows from the ravens, from the difference? I mean, because it might be a problem out there. If you have a crow fly yeah. in, that's not the right,
right.
species it's, of crow.
But you do need to have a license, and there's regulations. They're a migratory bird. So, right, you can't just go out and shoot ravens and magpies and stack them and
grackles.
Sort them and grackle and say, oh, I thought they were all crows, but... And I,
can you
I
only
get this,
take male crows?
I don't think you can tell on the wing the difference between male and female, the bearded crows or whatever.
okay.
Oh, crows. That was at Walmart. No.
And here's where I was going is, fine, I'll make my crow jokes. But you are exactly right that as I've gotten older, as I've grown up a little bit in some ways, ask my wife, not mm-hmm. true, I've become far less of an outdoors snob.
Yeah.
If you like to fish carp in a farm pond, if that's what you like to do, if that's what you're good at, if after a hard week of work, you like to go down and catch suckers out of the Red River, God bless you. Go do it. Whatever you want to enjoy.
I got to be...
Kumbaya.
You did this to me like a month ago. Have you ever blessed anybody twice? Mike McFeely blessed me on the radio like a month and a half ago, and people are going, wow, Lear, what did you do to McFeely? And now I got it. God bless you, Mike McFeely. We should have to turn this show on Sundays.
More power to you then.
I'll
stop using the one cliche and start using the second cliche.
Right back at you.
Okay.
Let's get some coffee. It's Saturday.
Let's take a break here on Mike McFeely Outdoors. That was I'm going to have to bring this up. Well, maybe, I don't know. We'll talk about it at some other time. But we need to take a break. We'll take a break on Mike McFeely Outdoors. We'll come back, and there are some things happening in the North Dakota outdoors, as Doug referenced, including the moose, elk, and bighorn sheep applications. They are out. It's the last weekend to leave your ice shack out in North Dakota. And I've been seeing some Facebook reports about some snow geese being in North Dakota. I have not yet seen any personally, but the way it was on Thursday and the way the weather forecast looks, we're soon going to be hearing and seeing the snow geese flying through our area. So we'll take a break, come back, more with Doug Lear on Mike McFeely Outdoors. It's a good thing.